For ease of listening, footnotes and scriptural citations included in the print version are omitted from this audio version. Administrative work of a pastor, personal financial stewardship. As ministers and pastors, our material resources, along with every other aspect of our lives, are owned by God and under His control. We are simply His stewards. Thus, our participation in the ministry includes the necessity of careful handling of our personal finances. While the pastors among us have the responsibility of conscientiously overseeing the fiscal affairs of the church, all of us have a responsibility to set a right example in terms of proper stewardship of our personal resources. In 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2, Paul said, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." We have been given a charge, and it is up to us to receive with thanksgiving what we have been blessed with and manage it to the glory of God. As ministers, we should live conservatively and not extravagantly. Our financial affairs should exemplify biblical attitudes toward our material resources, revealing that our loyalty is undivided and we put God first, that we are content with what God has provided, and that we are not focused on material gain but on eternal treasures. The Bible offers many directives regarding proper handling of our finances. We want to be well acquainted with scriptural guidelines regarding money so we can properly guide our congregations. In addition, we should also be aware of the policies noted under the headings below that are specific to those of us who labor in the ministry of the Apostolic Faith Organization. Earning money. Those who are occupied full-time in the ministry may be supported by the church. In Numbers 18:21, we read, "And behold, I have given the children of Levi, those who perform the religious functions of Israel's worship ceremonies, all the tenth in Israel for an inheritance, for their service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation." In the New Testament, Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, "Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel." In the Apostolic Faith Organization, pastoral compensation is based on the financial status of the church, the average amount of tithing by the congregation, and the actual needs of the pastor and his family. If we are called to serve at a location where the congregational tithing is not enough to support us and our dependents, we must be willing to work at a non-ministry job, as the Apostle Paul did on many occasions. We should in no way feel demeaned by the need to work at a job outside the ministry. We are assured that God will make a way to provide for our needs, for we have the promise, "My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Managing money. Financial integrity is a requirement for those of us in the ministry. Any carelessness or irregularity in this matter should be scrupulously avoided. All the preaching we do can be negated by a hint of financial impropriety. Careful planning is a key part of effective money management. The writer of Proverbs wrote, "Through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is established, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches." It is important to think long-term. For example, we must look ahead and plan for our eventual retirement, just as secularly employed individuals do. We should not anticipate that the church will be able to provide for our retirement. We may wish to begin contributing to a retirement plan or building equity in a home where we could eventually live if the Lord tarries. Disciplined budgeting is another aspect of managing our money well. Jesus asked the question, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it?" In addition to planned expenditures, the building of a tower, Budgeting helps us prepare for emergency or unplanned expenses. It is advisable for all of us to learn to cope with economic restrictions, for monetary challenges may arise at some point in our lives, even if we are not currently dealing with them. It is wise to always make purchasing decisions carefully and conservatively. Good record keeping is also key to proper management of our finances. We need to know where our money came from, where it has gone, and where it is going. Proverbs 27, 23, and 24 instructs, "Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and look well to thy herds. For riches are not forever, and doth the crown endure to every generation?" The most flagrant financial violation in evangelical circles occurs when leaders fail to keep church finances and personal finances separate. We do not commingle funds or allow the church to pay our personal expenses. This is a matter of integrity. If evaluation of our personal financial status reveals concerns in any of these areas, we may need to obtain advice from a Christian financial planner in how to adjust our spending or develop a budget. Saving money. We read in Proverbs 21:20, "There is treasure to be desired, and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up." This verse implies that if we are wise, we will consider the future and maintain a supply to provide for eventual needs. Obviously, this is not a license for hoarding, nor for being greedy or selfish. Rather, it is a matter of wisdom and sound judgment. The biggest issue is the discipline of saving and investing. It is important to spend less than we earn over a long period of time. In this, as in all matters relating to our handling of God-given resources, we want to set a good biblical example. Borrowing money. As ministers of the gospel, it is important that we live in freedom from financial bondage. Both the Old and New Testaments warn against the dangers of being in debt. The writer of Proverbs observed, "The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender." Paul advised the Roman Christians to owe no man anything, offering a powerful reminder of God's view of all forms of unsecured debt that are not being repaid in a timely manner. It should be noted that the Bible does not explicitly forbid all debt. For example, we would not view money owed on a house mortgage as being wrong. Sometimes a decision to obtain a home loan is actually a wise monetary decision. In the case of real estate purchases, the value of the property is security for the lender. The key is in making sure that our resources are being handled prudently and the repayment terms do not leave us with burdensome financial obligations. When debt of any kind is incurred, regular repayment is a must. If unavoidable circumstances saddle us with obligations we cannot meet, we should take immediate steps to do our best to turn the situation around. These steps would include: list what we owe, set a realistic goal for repayment, sell all unnecessary items, determine to live within our means, to spend less than we make, develop a detailed monthly repayment plan, communicate with any debtors regarding our plan for timely repayment, add no new debt, stick to our plan until the obligation has been met. The question may arise as to whether it is permissible for a Christian to file for bankruptcy. A biblical principle is that we have a responsibility to pay what we owe. Psalm 37:21 states, "That the wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth." Many cultures use bankruptcy as a remedy for reckless financial stewardship. Christians have a duty to keep their word, paying what has been agreed upon. Faithful management of financial resources is an attribute of holy living. God will not hold one blameless who sets aside regard for the law of the Lord and takes secular legal steps to be absolved of financial obligations at the expense of others. At times, circumstances may arise, despite best intentions, where an individual cannot meet financial obligations. This is especially problematic for a minister. An attorney should be consulted to address the financial aspect of these circumstances, because certain types of bankruptcy exist which are designed to facilitate repayment of debts over time rather than avoiding them. The courts protect the indebted one while obligations are repaid. These types of bankruptcy provide an economically distressed individual with an alternative to taking measures that would violate the conscience of one who strives to live honorably and keep repayment promises. The pastor or district leader should be consulted to address the ministerial aspect of these circumstances so the impact on our ministry can be addressed. Giving money. The cornerstone of God's plan for financing His work is tithing, returning 10% of our increase to God, who is the owner. Based on Nehemiah 10:38, which references the Levites bringing a tithe of the tithes, we encourage pastors and ministers who are supported by the church to pay tithes on any personal salary provided by the church, as well as any other income earned by the pastor or spouse. We also want to set the example of making offerings to further the work of the Lord. Doing so is not only commanded by God, but it is also one way of acknowledging that all of our blessings in life come from the giver of every good gift and every perfect gift. In 1 Chronicles 29:3, we read how King David set an example of giving, saying, "Because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good, of gold and silver, given to the house of my God." The princes of the tribes and the people followed his example and offered willingly to the Lord. We read in Acts 2:44-47, that those of the New Testament church who gave of their substance to God enjoyed gladness, singleness of heart, and favor with all the people. We want to be alert to the places and ways God would have us help out, for He commends giving that is regular, in keeping with our income, and generous. Paying money. Since our civil governments exist by divine ordination, it is incumbent upon us who are in leadership roles in the church to set an example in paying our taxes and meeting any financial obligations established by our government. Jesus taught His followers, "Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's." Paul instructed those in the church at Rome, "Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor." While we are free to take every tax deduction that is legal and honest, we must not attempt to avoid our duty in this matter. Refusal to obey civil authorities is allowable only when their demand conflicts directly with obedience to God. In conclusion, financial matters can have a great impact on our witness for Christ, both to those in our congregations and to the community at large. Since we live in a culture that is increasingly skeptical of Christians, we want to be sure our handling of money matters is above reproach, so our testimony is not damaged in any way. Again, quoting from Proverbs, "Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right." Integrity of heart and enjoying the favor of God is of far greater value than anything the world can offer us. Counsel for ministers. For pastors in the United States, if a salary is offered, it will be based on the size of the church and its ability to provide. If pastors live in a church-owned parsonage, the value of the parsonage and any church payment of utilities is considered compensation. This compensation is generally not taxable for income tax purposes, but it is included in earnings for Social Security taxes. We advise not opting out of Social Security. For the above items and many other tax issues, we recommend that pastors use a local accountant to make sure they are in compliance.